After driving through Atlanta, it's good to be anywhere. Amen. My soul. Of course, it was raining, pouring down rain, and I didn't even make it to Chattanooga. Of course, we're living now in Murfreesboro. Didn't even make it to Chattanooga before we had the first little detour had to make in an accident or something. My soul, there was probably 10 or 15 accidents. Started pouring down rain. I guess Georgia's been needing the rain. But it sure did cause the accident. So I praise the Lord that I'm here in one piece. And amen. But you know, I think about all those folks. One minute they were doing fine. The next minute, it's hard telling. One van sitting alongside the road and had both airbags deployed. And I don't know, they'd already got the people out and they were gone. But it's just hard telling what happened today in the lives of those people. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I praise the Lord again for Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I am just about to finish my 10th year in the ministry. That amazes me. It just flies by. Of course, that means I'm getting older. My kids are getting older. Amen. Now, my wife, she's not getting any older at all. She's just staying the same. Amen. Amen. But amen, brother. But I think about this church often. I've been coming here ever since I started in this ministry. Back with Brother Robert Barrow. Y'all remember Brother Robert? Anybody remember Brother Robert? And Brother Robert used to lead these detention centers down here, and I started coming with him and started working with him, and next thing I know it, they've been mine. So I praise the Lord for it. We're trying to work over in this. There's a 50-bed sex offender facility, and there was also the girls' facility that I used to work in up here, but the lady chaplain didn't like me. And I tried to be as nice as I could, and she wasn't really the chaplain. She's actually had a ministry outside of the facility, and she tried to get me to run all of our work through her, and I couldn't do that, amen. I work with the facility. I couldn't associate with her and call her Pastor Cindy. I just couldn't do it. Amen. But I come to find out this gal's, she's not doing good, her husband's not doing good, and they're not in control anymore, so it looks like we may be able to get back in up at this, it's the Gulf and Lake Academy, and up there in Land O' Lakes. So you pray that we'll be able to get that opened back up. See, we'll see a lot of the kids that are in that facility when we come to the juvenile detention centers, and then it's a program. They'll go and they'll stay there for a year or so some of them are already familiar with this. But I praise the Lord for that. Well, as I've been praying for the world, if you've read my last prayer letter, the Lord has opened the door. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance. Amen. And I've been asking the Lord for the world and the young people of the world, and He sure has, it appears as if He's going to do just that. I believe it's February, somewhere around the 14th or 15th, somewhere along that line. I'll be getting on one of those big old airplanes and flying to the Philippines. And Brother Larry Steichletter is our works over there on a regular basis, and he has called me, and he has said, look, the school systems are looking for help. See, in the Philippines, there are no juvenile prisons, no juvenile detention centers. If a young person is caught with a crime or has done a crime, convicted of a crime, you all bear with me. I've been driving since 5:30 this morning. If he's convicted of a crime, he's sentenced to go to school. Can you imagine that? Well, most of them are just running around. They're not going to school anyhow, or a lot of them. But if they're convicted of a crime, they're sentenced to school. Now, if it's a bad crime, a real hardcore or a felony to an extent, they'll put them in an adult prison. It's a crazy world over there. But for the ones that are just getting into a little bit of trouble, they're forced now to go to school. Well, if you can imagine what that's done to the school systems, it's made a mess of them. And the officials over there have asked us, our presence in the Philippines, it's been a wonderful presence over there. We've been able to help on a regular basis in the prisons, in the local areas, in the churches. Brother Steichletter has a warehouse where he'll ship containers of goods over there to help the families with desks and chairs and clothes and different things as well. So the community knows us and loves us. So when it came time to get some help, they came to us. And of course, the Lord's going to allow me to go over there and share with them what we have, what we're doing in the public schools, what we're working, how we're working with these young people that are in trouble. My prayer, my My dream in this thing, is, and I really believe it can happen, is we can establish a like an alternative school. Here in America, we have alternative schools where children's been in trouble. They're segregated from the good kids, or at least the kids that haven't been caught yet, amen, from those kids, and they're in a separate learning area. And basically, if we can get those kids segregated, then we can begin to just give them truckloads of preaching. And then, of course, I'll be returning back in September, Lord willing. We're planning on 2 trips this next year. And we'll be training the national pastors. There's no way we can get every school in that country, but the national pastors can. And if we can train them and equip them and let them know how we were able to go in and how we were able to start it, get the proper documentations from the leadership of the school systems of the country, and I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome, awesome experience. Of course, I'm not looking forward to an 18-hour flight. I don't like a 2-hour flight, let alone an 18-hour flight. But I usually drive everywhere I go, but I guess I'll have to fly, amen. So y'all pray for that trip, would you? I hope you will. Keep the, of course, it's an expensive trip. It's going to be around $2,500 per trip. But as I told one pastor, I said it has nothing to do with a leisure trip whatsoever. We're going to hit the ground running, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord does with that country. I really believe, see, here's my dream, my heartbeat. I don't know why, maybe it was Dr. Garris and Dr. Elvis Emerson. Any of y'all know Dr. Elvis Emerson? Brother Emerson went home to be with the Lord just a few months back. But their dream was always to reach into China. And for some reason, I just think that dream can be kept alive. And I'd love to be able to see, I know some are doing it right now, and there are folks that are getting in. But you know what? If we can reach some of these little Filipino kids, and we can get them sold out for God, they can cross that border. They can walk right across. They don't need the visas. They don't need all that. They can go right across and begin to evangelize. And my hope and dream is somewhere across the seas in those little Filipino schools, we can reach some of those young people and put a fire in their heart to reach out and to go into that world. There is revival going on in the Philippines. And just because America's dead doesn't mean that God is. Amen? There is a serious revival. We just had 35 or 40 team members go over to the Philippines on basically just an evangelistic crusade. That's what it was. They hit the public schools, they hit the churches, they hit the streets, and had over 4,000 saved. Amen. And they're hungry for the gospel over there. They'll take everything we can give them. And boy, it's just not like that here in America, that's for sure. Most folks don't want anything we have to give them. But I praise the Lord that He's still alive and on the throne. Amen? Everybody doing okay tonight? All right, if you found your place in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, and you're able to do so, please stand. I'll read just that one verse, 2 Timothy 2 and 4. I'll pray, and then I'll just give you a thought tonight. Amen? Is that all right? Amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We're going to look at that tonight, this chosen him to be a soldier. Now, Father in heaven, we certainly do love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the watch care you gave, Lord, over each and every one of us tonight. Lord, we're all here, Father. We were able to make it here safely today. Thank you for this dear pastor, Lord, that loves his church. And I pray, Lord, you continue to bless East Sly Avenue, Lord. And I pray that you'd use it, Father, as a tool in your hand, Father, to see the world evangelize. Thank you so much, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I think of this season, Lord, it's on my lips, Father, to say Merry Christmas, Lord. And I'm so thankful for the Son, Jesus Christ, Father, and what He did for us on the cross. Help me now, Lord. Please gather my thoughts together. Lord, keep my mind focused. Help me to say only that, Lord, which you'd have me to say tonight. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In 1980, as a young, I guess I was somewhere around 19 or 20 years old. I'd have to do the math. But somewhere around there in 1980, I decided to join the United States Air Force. Amen? And I began to think, I was preaching revival over at the J, Florida at the Lighthouse Children's Academy, and my soul was that place awesome. There's about 40 girls there, and it's just a wonderful blessing to go and preach to those young ladies. We had some tremendous results. Again, the revival fire swept through that place, staying up late, counseling. Young girls getting saved, young girls getting right, had a burn barrel, amen. They They got rid of some trash, and one young lady didn't seem like much to me, but she brought a little ribbon. It looked like an awards ribbon. It was a red ribbon. And she said, Brother Van Horn, she says, I want to get rid of this. And I says, well, what is it? She says, well, it just looks like an awards ribbon, but she says, this was my colors. This is what reminded me. I wore it in my back pocket. It was her flag for the Crips. She gave up all the gang. You'd be amazed. I never dreamed. It blew me away last time I was there of all the gang activities of those young ladies. Just absolutely floored me. It opened my eyes. But anyhow, we had a good old burning, and the Lord just blessed. We had, I believe there was 11 or 12 of the 40 saved. Amen. Amen. And it was just a wonderful time. Well, one of the times while one of my other men was preaching, I just began to think about some of the parallels of being in God's army compared to being in the United States Air Force. And I just thought some different things, and I began to jot them down. And boy, that night I went right back and I began to look at some different scriptures and how they can apply to us tonight. So if you will, I'm just going to take a couple different topics tonight and let you see how not only in the United States Air Force these things are important, but as well in the Army of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're saved in this room tonight, if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, like it or not, you're in. Amen.
Amen.
Like it or not, you've been recruited. You are in. You've signed on the dotted lines. He signed with blood. Amen. You are born again. You are in the Lord's army. And that's not so bad. Amen. Amen. Well, I got to thinking about exactly how that worked. I was pumping gas. I was working in a gas station. I had two different jobs. I was working another full-time job in an auto parts store and pumping gas in the evening. I just thought a man ought to work.
Amen.
Amen. Teenagers, I just thought a man ought to work. Amen. That's the way you get money. You don't always get it off mom and dad. Amen. Get it as long as you can, but then you go to work. Amen. But I began to, this fella come by, and he started telling me all about the Air Force. He started telling me how wonderful it was. He started telling me about the benefits and the medical, the dental, and he started telling me about how much they paid, and you'd be able to do this and that, and you'd be able to go anywhere in the world you wanted to. And he said, you can even stay in the United States if you want to. There's all kinds of different Air Force bases. Well, I really didn't know a whole lot about the Air Force. I said, man, that sounds good. So me and my buddy went down to the recruiter's office, and him and I joined up on that buddy system. I come to find out that fella, he was AWOL. I'm like, man, when I found out he was AWOL, I thought, what in the world have I got myself into here? Well, anyhow, I don't even know what happened to that fella after that, but I joined it, and I got to thinking about this in Proverbs 11 and 30, very familiar verse. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen? In order for me to get into the Lord's army, I had to have a recruiter, praise God. I had to have a young man that came by and told me how great it was, even though he didn't think it was great. But I haven't met a Christian yet that has not found out how great it is and doesn't still think it's great. Amen? But he told me about it, and I got to thinking the value of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you just never know. Walked into a McDonald's just 2 days ago or 3 days ago up in Walnut Grove, Mississippi, and getting ready to get in line, sitting right there at the table as a young lady with her food, just waiting for somebody. I sat down, handed her a gospel tract, began to ask her about her soul. She was wide open. She was ready. By the time I was done, praise the Lord, she's in the army. And you just never know who God has prepared, but if we don't talk, you know what? We'll never get anybody recruited. Amen. We've got to be able to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I got to think about this. I got to thinking about the fact that I had to get on an airplane, one of them old airplanes, amen, and I had to fly from Cleveland, Ohio to San Antonio, Texas. But there was two people back there at that airport that I had to leave behind, my mom and my dad, and they took me up to that airport, and they dropped me off, and mom cried, and I don't know what dad did. I don't remember. I don't even remember getting on the airplane, to be honest with you, but I know one thing. I had to leave my mom and pop back here at the house while I went out to serve in the Army. Yeah. You know, there's sometimes we just got to leave some things behind.
Right.
You know, the Bible, of course, says this. It says in Matthew 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, we know he's not talking about actual hatred where you despise him, but he's talking about the fact that a person has to be willing to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anybody around us, be able to leave Kingsport, Tennessee, where home is, and be able to leave the comforts of your house and be able to just go in order to serve the Lord. I think about our soldiers in Iraq. While we're sitting enjoying the air conditioning, I'm not sure about the temperature right now, but I know during the summertime it peaks up into the 130 mark. And I know our soldiers are over there leaving their children, their wives, their parents, their whole families, and they're leaving them over here. Why? To protect our nation. To keep us free. Now, I was sitting here thinking just before I came up here to preach, I was sitting here thinking that we take for granted the fact that I'm standing here preaching tonight and you're sitting there listening. Right. We take that for granted. We think, well, these churches will be open forever and we'll always be able to come in here. And it may be in our lifetime, but I don't know about my children's. Yeah. I'm not so sure what's going to happen. I know one thing, there's going to be some limitations placed on the preacher. In England right now, in the country of England, where our forefathers came from, it is illegal to open up the Bible and to read Romans chapter number 1. It's illegal. Can't do it. Cannot preach against homosexuality, not only in England, but it is illegal to preach against homosexuality in Canada. And you think it's not coming to our pulpits? It's coming. It's going to be a time when the government is going to begin to regulate what we can or cannot. I think I'll probably end up with a prison ministry just the way my mouth gets myself in trouble, amen? It's a wonder I'm not dead. I was preaching at Walnut Grove, Mississippi just last week, and I got to preaching, and brother, I don't even know where it came from, but I'm walking up and down the tables, on top of the tables, preaching to them old gangers, and I pulled out my handkerchief, and I said, you all worship this thing, and I blow my nose on it. I thought I was going to start a riot, praise God. It's a wonder I'm here tonight. But you know what? One of the leaders got saved. Amen. Tears streaming down his face. Praise God. We got to preach the truth. Yeah. But I had to leave. I had to be able to leave in order to be in the Lord's army. Sometimes there's just some comforts that we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. Amen. You know what? Sometimes I think, even in our giving, sometimes we need to just give sacrificially. I think of Dr. Gibbs. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but Dr. David Gibbs of CLA, Christian Law Association, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I remember he was preaching one time, and him and his wife, I don't know whether he asked his wife, I can't remember the exact scenario, but I believe he asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas, and she said, well, honey, this is what I want you to do. She said, I want you to take every single penny that you were going to spend on me for Christmas, and let's buy something for somebody who's less fortunate than us. And for ever since they've been married, every year for Christmas, they take any money that they would spend on themselves and go and buy for the less fortunate. I think sometimes if we just, in our own home, begin to just make some sacrifices and show the Lord that we love Him more, it would be an amazing thing. And then I thought about this. They took my clothes and gave me theirs, amen. I went down in blue jeans and a t-shirt, and I came out in a green khakis and we all looked the same. It was amazing. But the Bible says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We all look the same. And as I thought about this verse and how we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and how we are supposed to not make provision of the flesh, I'm telling you, this country, sin is at the fingertips of anybody and everybody. I stopped off into a little Baptist church on the way home from Walnut Grove, Mississippi, Sunday, and I began to talk. The preacher got up and he preached, and boy, he just didn't seem to have any liberty, brother. He went till 5 till 8 and said, well, I'm done. He just quit. And we fellowshiped for a while there at the church, and I'm getting ready to go out to my truck. Next thing I know, he's talking with me. Next thing I know, an hour later, he's spilling his guts on how he's involved in some horrible sin. And that's a preacher. I said, sir, I said, you need to get into your home and get that computer out of that back room and put it on the dining room table. We need to start getting ourselves accountable. And I praise the Lord. I've been emailing with him. I've been counseling with him. And those steps have already been taken. He is making sure that you know what he had to do? His wife had to get rid of the Cosmopolitan magazine. I'm just trying to help you tonight. I really am. Had to get some of the junk out of the house so that the husband wouldn't stumble. Bible, I believe, also says about not putting a stumbling block in your brother's way. And we've got to be so careful with the world the way it is today. I'm telling you, the billboards, I'm driving down the road having to put my hand up so I don't get attacked by the devil with the billboards. We just have to be so very careful. Well, then we all got the same haircut. But I'll never forget these fellas. They thought they were going to outsmart them, man. They came with buzzes. I mean, they would come right down to. Of course, I had my hair was longer than mine is now, and I thought, man, that barber's going to have a good time with me. But he had a better time with them old boys that came prepared. He took that old razor and that buzzer, man, and he put it right down on their head. They came out, and their heads were red. I got to laughing at him. I said, man, you better watch what you're doing around this place, amen. But you know, they all gave us the same haircut, and we all looked exactly the same. And this is what I got to thinking. Over in 2 Chronicles it said, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. You know, there's some standards that a Christian ought to just have. Amen? We ought to look like a Christian. I believe the Word of God says to abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to look different. We need to, if we're going to be able to not be afraid of what others think of us because we are in a different army, amen? Then we need to look like it. You know, one of the biggest reasons why the Vietnam War was so hard to fight, I talked to a lot of Vietnam vets locked up in the prisons. I talk to them. I talk to vets everywhere I go. If they're wearing a veteran's hat, buddy, they're getting my hand and a gospel tract, praise God. And I'm going to tell them about the Lord. But you know what they said? It was so hard to identify the enemy. They all looked the same. If you can't identify the enemy, then you can't fight against him. Next thing you know, some little kid that looks like an innocent little child, and you haven't seen your child in 6 months, and you go to just kind of go over and just maybe give that kid a piece of candy, and he blows himself up and you. Right. It was a horrible war. But we got to be willing to look our part. I think it's very important that Christians look like Christians, especially in the public school systems or in the workplaces. You can tell the difference. Sure. It's easy to tell. When we were in that army, when we were in that training, when we were in basic training, they were doing that to get us to take our identity away. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Dr. Robertson used to always say, just die to self, die to self, just die to self. If we're dead to ourselves like we need to be, it won't matter what other people think about us. Right. Amen. Well, then they put me in a dormitory with about 100 other boys. Yeah, they were boys too. But you know what? They looked like me. They dressed like me. They talked like me. And they did everything they were told to do, just like I had to do. It was either that or you were out. And you don't want that mark on it getting kicked out. You get a dishonorable discharge. It's not a pretty thing. 1 Timothy 3:5 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave, oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth." There's some ways that we as Christians, we just need to behave differently. Amen. Especially in the house of God. We need to be here. I couldn't imagine missing the very church service when the letters to the Corinthians had been read for the first time. Could you imagine missing that? I couldn't imagine. Well, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul. You should have been at church tonight, man. That letter was so powerful. I couldn't imagine missing it. And we need to understand that by being placed as a Christian in this army, we are to look the same, we're to act the same, we're to walk the same. Why? Because we've got a nation to protect. The whole reason they were teaching us how to be good soldiers is so we could protect the United States of America. The whole reason God is trying to transform us and get us into a place where we're Christians and not ashamed of it is so that we can go out into this world and fight the battle against the devil and his enemies and see souls saved. Well, you know what? They had a bunch of rules and regulations. I remember our bed. How many of y'all know what hospital corners are? Amen. Our bed had to have hospital corners on it, and that cover, that old wool itchy cover, had to be pulled so tight you could bounce a quarter off of it. That's right now, and if it was not tight enough to bounce a quarter off of it, some old double starched jarhead Air Force, what do you call them guys, drill instructors, amen, they get in your face and tear you apart. They called you every name in the book. I guarantee they called your mama names too, they did. They just, you know what they were trying to do? Trying to get you mad, trying to get you to break. Trying to see where your boiling point was. Because there's a lot of times we're going to be put under pressure as Christians. How will we react? How are we going to respond? Old Dr. Gibbs, he tells on himself all the time. I love to hear it. He's a big man. How many have ever seen Dr. Gibbs? He is a very, very big man. And he got in this airplane, and it was a brand new airline. I can't recall which one it was. I'm not real good on details, but I do remember the stories. And he went back, and he sat down, and the seats were real tight. And he just made this comment to the stewardess. He says, "Ma'am," he says, "boy, this airplane's nice and all." But he said, "Don't you think they could have made the seats just a little bit bigger?" And she says, "Well, you could go on a diet, you know." Now, I'm talking about Dr. David Gibbs, the founder and the president and all of Christian Law Association. He looked at her and says, well, lady, you've got to be the most cosmetically challenged lady I've ever met in my life. Amen. And he just went to, and that gal, she went back crying. And he's sitting there thinking how he took care of that, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost of God got all over him. And he went up and he says, ma'am, I am so sorry. I am a Christian, and what I did to you was just totally unacceptable. And I apologize to you. And he just humbled himself and apologized to him. On the way out of the airplane, on the way leaving, the pilot of the airplane came out, and he saw the stewardess kind of pointing over at him, and he thought, oh no. And as he got up close to the pilot said to him, so you're the one, huh? And he says, yes, sir. He says, I really had a bad, bad takeoff today. It was horrible. And he says, sir, he says, I just want to shake your hand. He says, it doesn't matter how you take off, he says, but it matters how you land. And he says, you landed properly. Boy, there's so many times that you know, people out there, we're the only Christians they're ever going to see. Sometimes we're the only Bible they'll ever read. And we've got to be real careful how we respond to different things. And I began to think of this as you think about all these rules and regulations. They're really just guidelines to success. This Bible is loaded with, and God's Word is loaded with, and God's design for us as Christians and soldiers in His army. Those rules and regulations are just designed for one thing, to keep us as close to God as we can stay.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, in America in 2008, you better be real close to Him, because the enemy's out there dressed up in a little jump coat with a bomb ready to blow you up. Ready to destroy you, ready to ruin your testimony, ready to ruin your marriage, your children's life, ready to ruin you.
Right.
Teenage pregnancies, suicides, ready to ruin you and destroy you. That's why you need to listen to the right music, teenagers.
Amen.
Somebody say amen out there beside the preacher, amen. That's right, that music is important. That song you sang tonight was beautiful, but I don't know what you listened to in your car, young lady. But you better make sure you're listening to the right stuff, because I'll tell you something. I don't know what all the giggling's going on about, and it's just me. That's the way I am. I'm just a preacher that preaches the truth, because I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But I'm telling you, if you're not listening to the right stuff, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt.
Amen.
I didn't mean to single you out. Good thing you're not blonde. I had a total blonde joke, too. Just kidding there. Amen. Well, next. We did have drill instructors, and they monitored us at all times. They didn't like our attitude, brother. I guarantee you they got on us. You know what? If they didn't like our space, the way we were supposed to have our space all properly prepared. I mean, you had to have your drawers folded and put in the right spot, your handkerchiefs. I mean, everything had to be just right. You didn't have any of your own clothes. You had everything that they issued. Am I not right? And it had to be just perfect. And if that old drill instructor did not like you, that could have been the absolute perfect. Best job. Some of y'all going like this. Some of y'all been to military. If that drill instructor didn't like you, he'd rip that bed up, flip it over, throw that cupboard down, throw your stuff everywhere, and say, you got 10 minutes to fix it, boy. Amen. He would. I did my best to stay on his good side. Amen. You know what, though? Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he also chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, those guys, I look back on it, they weren't trying to be mean and ugly to us. They were trying to prepare us for situations that we were going to be confronted with.
Right.
And the one thing I really, really, really thought was awesome about that, when we put those 100 boys in that little dormitory, I call them boys because they left men, some of them did, they came as boys, but they left as men. You know what, when them beds went flying, and that clothes went flying, and that drill instructor said, you got 10 minutes... Buddy, when he walked out the door, that young man had a whole bunch of soldiers over there helping him put that thing back together. He was not on his own. We were a team. And part of the reason was, that drill instructor says, if this thing isn't back together in 10 minutes, this whole squadron's going to be in trouble. So I guarantee you, buddy, we were over there fixing that thing up quickly. But you know, I got to thinking, we as Christians, man, we've got to rally to each other. We got to rally around each other. We got to, the widows and the fatherless, we've got to rally around them and help them and be a blessing to them in order to lift them up as a good Christian would do. They required of us to do physical training as well as mental training. Well, not quite so much in the Air Force, amen. I think I had to do 15 push-ups, 15 sit-ups to be able to run a mile in 17 minutes. That was not real stringent in those days. But now your Marines and the Army and the so on, now they've got some physical training that they have to do. But the physical training was important, as well as the mental training. We learned how to march. But most of all, we learned how to follow orders. Just because someone gave them to us. Didn't have to mean anything. We could see beyond it and think, man, this is crazy, but we still had to do it. I'll never forget, I read a book, Tom Vogel, Growing Up in Vietnam. He's a professor at Hiles Anderson College. I'll never forget how he was talking about one of the situations. He was over in Vietnam and he was crossing the water, and they said, do not ever drink the creek water. Do not ever drink it without taking a package out and a package that would kill the bacteria. Don't ever drink it. He said, well, it was a hot day and that water was crystal clear and we were crossing. We've been marching for hours. He said, I scooped off my helmet. He said, I knew as soon as I scooped that helmet full of water that I better put that package in it. But he said, I was just so thirsty. And he said, as soon as that stuff hit my mouth, it was so bitter, and I began to, he just got sick. He knew he should have put that package in it. They teach us that just to keep us to listen to the orders so we could be protected. That's the whole reason why, to keep us safe. They give us instructions to survive along the way. I remember one of the things the drill instructors would do, San Antonio, Texas, in September, is about 120 degrees. The drill instructors would always tell us, don't lock your legs. Some of you guys know why. You lock your legs, you cut the flow of your blood off, boom, you're going to pass out. And all the time I marched, I believe it was 6 weeks in basic training, never once did I see a drill instructor pass out. They knew. And they were just trying to help us. They were just trying to help us. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourself. You know why our churches are in the condition they're in today? Because the soldiers aren't submitting themselves to the pastor's authority. Because the pastor's just going to stand up here and preach the Word of God, and if he preaches something that's contrary to it, then just don't do it. But if he's preaching truth, then we need to submit. We need to give. We need to go. We need to pray. We have to. Why? Because he's watching for our souls, and he's going to have to give an account for us that we may do it with joy and not with grief. That's unprofitable for you, the Bible says, not for him. His hands are clean. As long as he's done what he's supposed to do and preached what he's supposed to preach, hey, I'm not planning on passing out in no formation, amen. I don't want to pass out in the formation. You look pretty silly when you're passing out in that formation. But we did train as a team and not as individuals. When the whole platoon, if we won, we all won. The formations. There's strengths in teams, but there's weakness in individuals. We've got to be strong. I have a good prayer support group. Have you folks that support us financially and prayerfully, amen? I got a dear bunch of ladies back there that helped me get Bibles into the hands of inmates by simply saving B dollars. You talk about a blessing. I come down here and I get loaded up with B dollars, and one of those B dollars buys a Bible to give a kid. I mean, that's teamwork, that's support. I can't get out there and get all that money so I can give to those Bibles to those kids, but I want to give Bibles, and the kids need Bibles, so as a team, we have one final goal, and it's working because we're working as a team. Acts 12 and 12 says, and when they considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary and the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. Man, they were just all together praying for us. I thought, what a blessing. Well, after basic training, I was sent to tech school, Denver, Colorado. That's where I learned basically the skill or the trade that I was going to spend my career working on. And the advanced training, if you will. Of course, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. A workman, amen? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've constantly got to be studying. Folks, I don't know what your habits are, but I hope that your habits include a little bit of Bible every day. I hope your habits include maybe to go on past just a reading a little bit of a Bible every day, but maybe taking the Sunday school lesson home and studying it, or taking the notes that you got from the lesson that the pastor preached and studying it and looking at those words in that Bible and trying maybe even to listen to some preaching tapes or take some choruses and constantly learn. The more you learn, the more you're ready for the battle. You know, there's a lot of There's a lot of soldiers today with desk jobs. And I know every job's important. Every job's important. But the ones that are getting the work done for the Lord, they're the ones out in the front lines. They're the ones that are ready to go. They're ready to fight. I know there's a lot of Christians on the desk with a desk job. They're just getting by. They're saved and they know it. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. Boy, we've got to keep these things in front of us at all times in order to stay ready for the fight. Well, after all this was accomplished, I was ready to do my job. My first assignment was at Wichita, Kansas. Living proof God has a sense of humor if you've ever been there, amen. But it was the place where the United States Air Force sent me to take the training that I'd received in order to protect the country. That was my job. They'd spend all that time on me so I could be a part of the Army or the Air Force so I could protect our nation. And they gave me that job. And I'll never forget the day when the Lord called me to the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, full time. I was just an old construction worker. I thought that you had to have 4 years of Bible college to be a preacher. And probably would have helped a whole lot. I've got 2 years now. It was the best 8 years of my life getting it, amen. But I didn't have a degree. I'd never been to Bible college, and I just thought that you had to have it. Well, I come to find out that you just had to have a call of God on your life, and He'll prepare the way. I was going to be a missionary builder. I had it all figured out. I had God's mind all made up. I knew what I was going to do. I was just waiting for Him to open up the door. But when I finally just quit fooling around and got myself and put myself in the offering plate and said, "Lord, You do what You want to do with me," it was about a week later He showed me Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And I hit the road a-running. I didn't know any different. I'm glad I didn't know any different. I'd have probably done it different, amen. I thought you were supposed to just quit your job and go out and start raising support. So I just quit taking jobs and went out and started raising support. And here I am today, amen, still doing it, praise God. Amen. And I praise the Lord for the call that He gave me. I'll never forget, though, when I first joined the Air Force, I stood up before a group of officers, a group of the leaders of the Air Force. And I held up my right hand, and this is what I said. I said, "I, Mike Van Horn, having been appointed a rank, United States Air Force, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth, or I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter, so help me God." How many of y'all remember making that statement? How many military folks do we have? Quite a few. 3, 4, amen. Y'all remember making that statement? Well, I got to thinking about this. At the end of that swearing-in ceremony, y'all remember what they said? "You are now property of the United States of America." Am I not telling it true? Is that not the exact words they said? They said, "You get a sunburn that'll take you out of the ranks. You could lose your... You get court-martialed. You go out and get drunk and get beat up and end up in the hospital, you get court-martialed. Why? Because it's not your body anymore." My Bible tells me that I've been bought with a price. I'm to glorify God in my body. He bought me. He paid for me. My body's not my own. When you buy something, it doesn't belong to you anymore. And you can do whatever you want to with it. I'm afraid sometimes the Lord just takes them and puts them up on a shelf somewhere. I believe He calls them castaways. But I think there's a lot of times when He's got them babies, different ones polished up and the action's working good and got them right out in the middle of the heat, and He's getting some things accomplished. Well, I wrote this down and then I'm done and we'll pray. And if the Lord's impressed you on anything, you need to take care of business, you need to. But I thought about this. I thought about this little oath that a man might take. And I wrote these words: "I, Mike Van Horn, having received the free gift of eternal life, uniting myself with the greatest Air Force ever," amen, "the Lord's Air Force, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Lord Jesus Christ, the King James Bible, and the Church of the Living God against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely, nobody had to twist my arm, amen, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. I didn't get in to get out, praise God. I got in to serve. I got in to fight. I'm going to have all eternity to just rest. I'm going to have all eternity to just enjoy heaven and enjoy the luxuries of heaven and enjoy my fellow soldiers. But right now I'm here to fight. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter. So help me God. One of my biggest fears, and I believe it's probably what helps keep me focused, is my biggest fear is to be a castaway. My biggest fear is to become what that preacher that I'm counseling with has become. Because he couldn't preach. He stood up here behind God's desk and could not preach because his mind was just filled with filth. Couldn't do it. Now I'm not real wise on church stuff as far as what he needs to do as a pastor, so I referred him to my pastor as far as the church part of it, whether he should resign or what he should do. But as far as the ethical part of it, I've been working with him. That's my biggest fear. I'd hate to be a castaway. So you know what I try and do? I try and love my wife like Christ loves the church. Amen. I lose my wife, I lose my ministry. Right. Amen. I lose my children, and I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to have a bad testimony with my children. But I don't want you folks to have to get a letter sometime that say, Brother Van Horn's out of the ministry. Yeah. I don't want you all to have to ever get that letter. I want to be like Elvis Emerson and Dr. Garrison. I want to die on the front lines. Amen. I mean, just let me die with a Bible in my hand. Just let me die preaching, amen. Just let me die standing behind the pulpit. If it means I have to die in prison by some gang member, just let it go that way, amen. Yeah. I know one thing. I wish you could see it. I wish you could just see what the prisons are like when you preach the truth and hardened criminals weep and get saved. There's just nothing like it. But you know what? There's people in your world that I can't go to. But if you're in the army, why don't you just sign back up, amen? You didn't lose anything. But what they, over in Iraq, and I'm done, just this past year was the largest reenlistment of history in the army. Men all over lined up. The largest reenlistment service ever. Of one group of men. Now, the news media didn't bother to tell you that. But they were all just basically re-signing, saying, I'm going to keep on fighting. Because I believe in this battle. And I believe in it, and we're going to keep fighting for our country. They just re-signed and said, here I am. I'm going to stay in this battle until it's over. Teenagers, young people, whoever you are tonight, why don't you stay in the battle? There's a lot of things folks at home can do. I heard of one lady at home. She couldn't get out and go on visitation, but you know what? She has a book about that thick of phone numbers. And they're all local. So she just started at the A's and started calling and telling people about Jesus. Track distribution. Boy, you can pass tracks out. You can leave tracks everywhere. The old junk mail thing, I've probably said it here before, but I'll say it again. Don't throw your junk mail away. Open that envelope up. Because inside it is another envelope that says, no postage required, United States of America. Amen. Stick you a track in it and ship it back out. Praise God. We went up to the Opry Mills, the big hotel thing, the other day, and I'm past leaving tracks everywhere. They had some elf going like this. Well, when I left, he had a track in his hand. Amen. He's sitting there holding a little track up that said the ultimate truth. Amen. Pass out tracks, and who knows? Who knows what the Lord will do if you're a soldier in His army? Father, we thank You tonight for all You've done for us. Thank You for the privilege to preach. Thank You for Pastor Shelton, Lord, and His love for these folks. I pray, Lord, now that You'd bless as we go to this juvenile prison tomorrow, Lord, that You would please work in the hearts of these young men. Lord, it's a very demonically oppressed prison, Lord, with the sexual sins, Lord. They're all sex offenders. But Lord, we pray that You would please bind the demons. Lord, give us liberty to preach and to teach, and that, Lord, some of those boys would be saved because we're in your army. Lord, please, if there's someone tonight that needs to do business with you, Lord, that they would just not just come to an altar and pray, but they would come to an altar and leave different. Lord, that's my prayer this evening. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.